You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, first of all, guys, I just want to reiterate the happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is an awesome day. It also can be a hard day, right? Whether you've lost a mom, you're not a mom. And so I just really want to honor every woman in this room because there's so many people I know that are spiritual moms that take people under their wing and love them, even though they're not maybe their biological children, whether you're teachers or you're just women in the church that kind of mentor and spend time with other, you know, youth and young adults. So I just want to honor you guys. And actually what we're going to do, they're back there loading them all up. So I am giving my book to every woman in here. Please take it even if you are not a mom, okay? Because it's not about motherhood. It's about how the Holy Spirit wants to use every one of us. So you'll see the ushers coming around. They're going to hand a book to every woman in this room. This is the church blessing you guys. Now, a lot of people have been amazing, and you guys have actually pre-ordered the book, or you came to the book launch, or maybe you had got one at the women's conference a week ago. But this is what I want to ask you to do. I have two requests for you. If you have a book, I would absolutely love for you to give this to someone you know that feels overwhelmed and limited in their life right now, especially if they are a mom, but even if they aren't. Okay? So if you have a copy, that is your duty. You don't have to do it today. I'm not going to stress you out. But it'd be really awesome if you gave it to them today since it is Mother's Day. The second is, if you have not read this book because maybe you've never heard of it, please read it. But or you say, I am not a mom, so this doesn't apply to me. Listen, I would have never had the word mother on the cover. My publisher made me do that. So I keep finding out about husbands reading this book. And I laugh because I'm like, you're reading a motherhood book. But it's really about how the subtitle is how forces outside you can't stop the God within you. And kind of like we were talking about today with that spirit of heaviness, there's times in our life where life just happens, right? Anybody been there? If you haven't, pray for me. Life just happens. Life gets hard. We get sad. And we still love Jesus, but we just stop believing he could actually still use us. So I just encourage you to do one of those things. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. And if you want to bless someone with it, there's been so many cool stories that I've heard. I just had a distant relative tell me her mom just passed away, and she was in the nursing home in Malone. And there's a lady that worked at the nursing home, she found out had a child with autism, and so she gave her my book. And she reached out to me on Facebook, and she was like sobbing, crying on a voice memo. And so God is like using this, so please just pay it forward if you guys have already been blessed with it. So happy Mother's Day to everyone in this room. So what I want to talk to you guys today about, if you have your notes, and I kind of alluded a little bit to it during the after worship. But I want to talk to you guys. So one of the things that really resonated as I've talked to women, and this is not just a Mother's Day message, so don't tune out, guys. I'm watching you. Okay? is this feeling. So there's a chapter that I talk about in the book that I just passed out. It's called The Heaviness of Hiddenness. And this is not a feeling that just moms can have. Although I'll tell you what, when you have little ones and all you do all day long is like never leave your house except to go to Walmart and, you know, wipe bums and feed them and clean up messes, it can feel like a very hidden season. But the truth is God takes every one of us through hidden seasons. They're not fun. I don't like them at all. But they are so vitally important. So I want to read you guys this quote real quick. This is actually from a book called Anonymous. And it says, in seasons of hiddenness, our sense of value is disrupted. It's stripped of what others affirm us to be. In this season, God intends to give us an unshakable identity in him that no amount of adoration or rejection can alter. So have you ever found yourself in a season of hiddenness? Have you ever felt invisible? I know I have. It looks different for different people. For me, I had two kids with autism, and so there was just a season, and little ones, three babies, one and under at one point, So there was a long season, about 8 years, where I couldn't work. I couldn't really even come to church here. Greg was still leading the church. We transitioned from youth pastors to being lead pastors, and it was like, hey, see ya, good luck, I'm never there. And it was definitely a hard season for me, but we can find ourselves in those seasons too. It can look like caring for a loved one, right? Might even not be a child. It could be a spouse. It could be a parent that you're suddenly caring for. It could be you have a special needs child. It could be you just have little ones. It could be you are sick with a chronic illness yourself, and life is really hard, and you're super limited. But we all go through these seasons sometimes where we kind of just feel hidden away. And I just want you to know, first of all, that is normal. I want you to think about Jesus' life for a second. He only lived 33 years, 33 and a half. 30 of those years, he lived in obscurity. Living in his parents' basement. Just kidding, they didn't have a basement. Living with his parents, probably taking care of his mom because they believe his dad had passed away then. Working his dad's business. Just being faithful. And he was the Son of God. Think about how crazy that is. Like, 30 years of just kind of being faithful and being in this season of hiddenness, and then 3.5 years of ministry. And I'm like, that's a tad disproportionate, God. Like, you know, if he's called to save the whole world, shouldn't he be like ministering? I mean, think about all the sick people he could have healed if he started his ministry at 18. You know, like graduated and just started like preaching the gospel and praying for people. But why? Why these 30 years of, in a sense? And there was a few, you know, he had the water and wine miracle. Like, I'm not saying he didn't do anything. There's a time when he was like 12 and he was at the temple and he was teaching the Pharisees and they were wowed by his wisdom. But the truth was, for the most part, he just was faithful in a hidden season. And I think we do not talk about this enough. That's one of the things I realized as I wrote about it, was that no one's talking about this, but so many people are feeling this. And so I just want to encourage you. First of all, I just want to share with you guys a quick story about my own life where God really spoke to me. But to understand the context, you have to understand at this point, I had 3 toddlers. So I have 5 kids. And at this point in my life, I had 3 toddlers. And my daughter was 5 or 6 at the time. She was going to school. My daughter Mara was diagnosed with autism. My son was already in school. So I had 3 at home all the time. And every morning I had to get my daughter with autism on the bus. Buses. Buses and my daughter Mara don't go together. She's broken 2 windows, 4 windows of buses, and 1 entire door. You know, like the door? Yes, the whole entire glass door shattered. So let's just say buses are not my daughter's favorite thing. And so I'm having to get Mara on the bus one morning. It's like cold out. I remember there was snow out. And now, mind you, I have to keep the 3 toddlers inside. You're not going on the bus too. You were staying here. And Greg at this time was, I think, actually in Uganda on a trip. A missions trip. So I got a lock. I got to keep them inside. You know, I put them all inside. I take Mara out, and she is not wanting to go. She's going, no school, no school, no school, no bus, no bus, no bus. And I'm just like, yes, you love school. Remember, you love school. So I take her onto the bus, and then, you know, the aide meets her at the door, and I turn around to go back to my house. Well, all of a sudden, the bus driver, and he might be in here today, Rick, if you're here, beep, beep, he beeps the horn, and I'm like, oh, gosh, what's going on? And I kind of know, like, the beeping horn is never a good sign. Something's going to be broken, right? And so I'm like, oh, gosh. So I turn around, and he, like, waves me to come on the bus. See, because, like, if you work for the school, I know Paula Mendes would understand this, like, there's a lot of liability, right? So the bus monitor can't make a child sit in a seat because, like, they could hurt the child. And so I come, and Mara's in the, like, aisle, and she won't get in her seat. And they can't drive away if the child's not in her seat, and she needs to be buckled. They can't drive away if she doesn't have a buckle. So I'm scooping her up. I'm picking her up. I'm having to push her hips into the seat. She's kicking my shins, and I'm just like, oh, she's yelling. And I'm trying to buckle her in. And I, all of a sudden, the bus driver says, Jess, Jess, Jess. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to do this. And he's like, your kids, your toddlers have gotten out onto your porch. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I look, and three, they're the cutest things ever. One is still in just a diaper. It's winter. They're toddling out on the porch towards the road. They start walking through the yard. They're laughing. They have no shoes or socks on, right? So they're walking through snow, and they're just, and there's cars driving down our road. And I'm like, goodness, and I still can't get Mara in her seat. And at the same time, the bus driver or the monitor, they can't get off the bus. It's a liability thing. They can't leave the bus. They can't help me put her in the seat. They can't do anything about the toddlers. And I have to somehow fix all of this without someone dying in the process. And meanwhile, so as the three ones are out, like, la, 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 wandering towards the road, my stupid dog, if you've ever met my dog, you'll know why I'm calling him stupid. I love him, but he runs out and he's circling the bus. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Run him over. I'm done with life, right? Like, it just was, what was crazy about the moment was it was a microcosm of how I felt like my life was in that season. Chaos everywhere. No one can help me. And I'm supposed to just be everything to everyone, and I can't. And so anyway, I end up taking Mara, grabbing her by the hand and say, she's not going to school today. I didn't say it very nicely either. Take her off the bus. I get her inside. I close the door, and then I start chasing the toddlers around, get them all inside. I don't even care about the dog. He's still wandering around. No, I'm just kidding. He does every other day. But so I get all the children inside. I lock the door so nobody can get back out, and I immediately start. And if you've ever been in a season like this where you feel so overwhelmed, there's no words, I start hyperventilating. Like, my kids are all okay. Everybody's okay. But something in me just was not okay. And so I remember then calling Greg, trying to call him because it was really hard to get a hold of him when you're in Uganda. And I finally got a hold of him. I can't remember if he was flying back. And I remember calling him, and he's like, I'm trying to tell him what happened, and I can't even tell him what happened because I'm just so, like, I can't breathe. And he's like, are you okay? And I just kept saying, I'm not okay. I am not okay. I'm not okay. And he's like, okay, well, what do you want me to do? Because I'm in Uganda, across the world. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just couldn't even get the words out. I finally just hung up on him. And I just started bawling, crying. But in that moment, about 5 minutes later, because I don't know if any women here do this, but when I have no control of my life, I clean. Because it's the one thing I can control, well, for like an hour until the kids mess it up again. But I'll start cleaning, so it's like, okay, well, everything's out of control. But right now, those dishes are so sparkly. Look at that. Like, it just makes me feel like something's in order when nothing else is in order. So I'm cleaning at my sink. I'm crying still. My kids are, in the living room playing. And all of a sudden, I just felt like I literally turned around because it felt like I could hear. I'm not praying. I should have been really spiritual. I should have been praying, crying out to God, put some worship music. I didn't do anything spiritual. I'm just like in this emotional place. And as I'm washing my dishes, I just felt like out of nowhere, I heard God's voice, like so loud that I turned around thinking somehow Greg was home, which made no sense because he was across the world. And all I heard was, I see you. Three simple words, but it was, so I started to cry again, but this was a different cry. It was an overwhelm of, in a moment where I felt so hidden, God spoke straight to my heart. I wasn't even asking for it. I wasn't praying. I wasn't expecting it, that he saw me. He saw me in that moment, and it has, those three words, they changed me. They changed that season of my life, because there's something about a hidden season where you feel unappreciated. Anybody ever been there? Or you feel that you have this potential in you, but that no one sees it because of the things that are on your life or what you're having to deal with. And I feel like God just spoke straight to my heart. And I think he wants to speak to people's hearts today. So we're going to get to our notes. Sorry, that was just the story I wanted to tell you, because this is what God started to birth in me is what I want to share with you guys today. Was that was the first moment where he broke through. My circumstances did not change at all. But sometimes I think we're wanting our circumstances to change when God's trying to change us. We think, oh, if this was fixed, if my life was better, if my marriage was better, if my kids didn't do all these crazy things, if this, if people noticed me, if people saw my potential, or if I had a different job, if all of these things were different, then God could use me, or then I'd have joy, or then. It's not true. It's actually a lie. I'm not saying God doesn't want to bring healing and wholeness and things, but the truth is we think all of those things in our lives have to change, but he's trying to change us. I want to tell you guys quick about, do you know that there's three books in heaven? This is not on your notes. This is for free. Anybody want to tell me if they know the name of one of the books in heaven? I actually think there's a whole library in heaven, but I can't biblically back that one up. The Book of Life, right? So the Book of Life has, right, talks about in Revelation. Well, it talks about other parts in the Bible too. The Book of Life is all of the names of those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they've chose to follow him. When we get to the judgment seat one day, they're going to open up the Book of Life, right? And we're all like, I hope my name's in it. No, your name's in it, right? If you've accepted Jesus, it's not about what we do. But do you know there's two more books? And I'm like, nobody talks about these things. I was teaching the Momentum students, and they're like, there is? Two more books that we know about. I think there's more than that. So there's the Book of the Living, which is not the same as the Book of Life. The Book of the Living is actually Psalm 139. David talks about it, where it says, you record all of my days in your book. Do you know the Book of the Living is actually a record of everybody on the earth and how many days they're going to live? Interesting. Huh? So it's not the same as the Book of Life, because everybody would be on the Book of the Living that's on the earth and how many days he's allotted to us to live, right? Like, we think we have control of that. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. But that's not the book I want to talk about. The third book is the book I want to mention today, because in a season of hiddenness, this is a book you need to know exists. And it's the Book of Remembrance. Anybody ever heard of that before? It's mentioned several times in the Bible. I think it's on your notes, but I'm going to read Malachi 3:16. It says that, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. I love this. And the Lord listened to what they said. Isn't that a cool thought? Not only like God sees us, but he's hearing what we're talking about with each other. And it says, in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. So there is a book or a scroll in heaven that records the deeds and the things you speak about and do to honor God. Isn't that crazy to think about? Now, I'm not saying there's like a scroll in heaven. Well, there is actually if you don't repent. Like, that's interesting too to think about, that he keeps track of our deeds. Now, if you ask Jesus into your life, that is washed away, right? All of your sins are forgiven so that they aren't held against you. But in heaven, there's a book of remembrance that records the deeds, the selfless acts that we do, caring for people behind closed doors. Isn't that just a beautiful thought to think, when nobody else knows, God knows? And not only does he know, it's like nice to know, okay, me and God, cool, we're tight. He's going to reward you. When nobody else knows and it's behind closed doors and you're in a hidden season but you're staying faithful, there is a reward waiting for you in heaven. I don't understand what that looks like, but I'm all about that. That sounds great to me, right? Because this world is backwards. This world system honors people and things that honestly shouldn't be rewarded, and dishonors and downplays people and things that should be rewarded. And when we get to heaven, it's going to be made right. The script is going to be flipped. And all of the people that have been faithfully serving him are going to be honored. So anyway, God sees you, God hears you, and he remembers our deeds. So if you guys want to look at your notes, we're going to go to Ephesians 3. This is where we're going to camp today. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 16. I'll just give you a little background about what's happening here. So when I, going back to the story with the bus, when I went through that moment and God spoke to me, I see you, I started to develop an intimate relationship with God that I didn't have before. I love Jesus. But there's a difference between loving him and really, really getting to know him. And I didn't have anything else sometimes, and so I started to really just dig into him, and I felt like he was with me, like throughout the day. Sometimes it's silly, but I literally would pour an extra cup of coffee. My kids would try to drink it 5 minutes later, but it was just this moment where I was remembering I'm not alone in this. But during that season, one of the things I did a lot, and I think this is okay. God just wants you to share whatever you're thinking, guys. Like, you don't have to be so formally praying. So I would complain a lot. I'm just going to be honest. Rather than complain to everyone else, I'd complain to him. And whenever I would complain about my life, he would say this to me, and he's still challenging me with this thought. I would say, Jesus, it's so hard, and can't you just heal my daughter and help me and make a way, you know, that, you know, the kids aren't so crazy. And I just complain about these different things. And I had to lay down ministry, Jesus, and I miss doing youth ministry so much. I just complain. And he would say to me, Jess, you don't have a life problem. And I'd be like, yeah, I do. Like, a lot of problems, like four doors on the buses and like, we have a big problem, God. And he'd be like, no, you have a faith problem. You actually don't believe that I can work in and through your life even if nothing changes. And so many of us, I think we get to that same place. We're like, but God, what about this? And what about that? And what about my husband? And what about the fact we have no money? And what about all of these things? And what about, you know, our kids are just not following you anymore? And we get stuck in these places where we think, okay, God, until you show up, just going to wait for you because you can't really, I don't know, like I can't do anything because of all these situations. And we focus on the situation instead of focusing on him. And we don't have enough faith to believe that he could still move despite whatever we're in. And so the reason why I want to read out of Ephesians is Paul, and you know a third of the books that Paul wrote, the third of the letters he wrote to the New Testament church, most of the New Testament is written by Paul, if you don't know that. So many of the letters, right? A third of them he wrote in prison. And so when you think about it, it's really important to know which ones he wrote when he was in prison, because you, like, all of a sudden you're seeing this perspective of his words way different than if it just he wrote it like sitting at home with his cup of coffee, right? And so one of the things that I think is crazy is if I was in prison and I wrote you guys a letter, it would not sound like Paul. Okay, we're going to read it real quick and then I'll tell you what my letter would sound like. Not quite as good as his. Okay, Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And then this is the verse that I just love too. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, that's the Holy Spirit, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So, imagine he wrote that he was on house arrest then, from the Romans. But if I were to write a letter in prison right now and send it to you guys, and like we were the pastors, I'd be like, everybody pray for me. They're talking about killing me. They're saying they're gonna, you know, like sentence me to death, and pray that somehow I get out. Pray that God sends an angel to rescue me. The food is terrible. Stale bread, I don't know, right? Like, that's what I would have wrote. It would have been all about me and all about the circumstances I was in and all about how you all need to pray for me so that I can get out of these horrible circumstances. Does that ever sound like any of our lives? Not saying being a mom is like being in jail. Please don't get that analogy. But what I'm saying is, does that ever sound like us? Hey, let's go get coffee. Let me tell you about all these horrible circumstances that are happening in my life. They're so terrible and they're so bad. And I'm not saying don't talk to your friends about this. But do you see how we operate in the same spirit of just like, there's all of these horrible things. And I don't know, somebody pray for me because I don't know what to do. And how am I going to ever do anything if I'm in this mess? Do you see, we don't have a life problem. We have a faith problem. Paul didn't say any of that. He says, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. He wrote that one in prison. He said, don't you guys get it? Don't you know what the mystery is? That the Holy Spirit working inside of us, he can do exceedingly more than you could ever imagine. He said that from prison. Wait a second, Paul, you're confused. No, we're confused. Because we are foolish enough to think that the Holy Spirit can be limited by anything coming against us, by anything hard in our life. And he's just waiting for somebody to be somewhat crazy enough to believe he can use them anyway. It's a faith thing. You know, Mason's not sitting over here anymore, but I always use Mason as an example. He has so much faith. If you don't know Mason Donnelly, he just graduated from the Momentum program. He's only been saved a few years, but God is using him in crazy ways. It's not because he's special. It's not because he did Momentum. It's not because he has some special anointing or call on his life. It's because he's crazy enough to believe that God could use him. That is what faith is, despite your circumstances. Okay, so first point, three reasons why hidden seasons are necessary. Okay, the first one's this. Hidden things grow. Hidden things grow. If you don't write this down, you're losing points. Heaven points, according to Josh. Just kidding, there's not really heaven points, but it's just good to write it down. All right, so we're talking a little bit about Jesus, right? Isn't it interesting to think Jesus wasn't in a rush to save the world? This is weird to think to me. Like, why didn't you, Jesus, like, hurry up? Because he was more worried. He wasn't worried about being productive. He was worried about being obedient, right? If you read the Gospels at all, you see over and over again, Jesus says, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father tells me to do. So he had such a close connection with God the Father that when he said, stay put, don't start your ministry yet, hang out with mom still, stay put, stay in your house, he did it. Because he knew it wasn't about him achieving something. It wasn't about him being successful. It wasn't about him being productive. It was about him being obedient. And obedience gets a bad rap. That's just like, feels like a bad word nowadays. Anybody agree with that? And kids are like, yes. But I just think in general, even in Christian circles, like, you know, my book has something on it about obedience and my publisher promoted it like on Facebook. I got like hundreds of comments being like backlashing me and like saying all this crazy stuff. And they're taking it in the sense of obedience, like submitting to authority and submitting to your husband. And people were totally reading into it. But obedience nowadays, even without that connotation, feels like a bad word. But when you obey the Father, it's just trusting him. I trust his time. I trust his way. I trust when he tells me to do something, he's going to be there to help me do it. And I trust when he tells me not to do something and to stay put. As Barb Barkley says, you know, sit, stay, like a dog. Stay, no barking. When he tells us to do that, that he's going to bless that and he's going to use that. There's something about learning to hear the voice of God the Father, right? So hidden things grow. So there's a verse that I just love. I want to read you guys real quick. Luke 2, this is about Jesus. We talked about this with the Momentum students, and they were like, I don't get this. What does this mean? Luke 2, verse 52, and it's in reference to Jesus. Actually, I probably can quote it. It will take me less time. It says, he grew with wisdom and stature with both God and man. Now, this is Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with both God and man. Isn't it weird to think of the fact that Jesus had to grow? Like we were talking with the Momentum students, they're like, but he's God. He knows everything. How does he have to learn? I don't know. It said he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with both God and man. If Jesus has to grow, maybe we do too. There's something about in a hidden year that causes you to grow. How many of you guys know that like you can learn a lot of stuff, but it's all up here until you have to like apply it to your life, right? And a hidden season makes you have to start applying those truths to your life, right? I'm reminded of the verse, we're not going to go there, but John 12, it's like my life verse. It says, unless a seed of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it goes into the ground, it will bear much fruit. Think about a seed. When it goes into the ground, it's dark in there. It doesn't get to bring its seed friends with him. It's not like if a seed goes into the ground with all of his little friends and they have a party and then they put the dirt on top. Like, there's a hidden season that God wants to take every one of us through. Not because he's a mean God that doesn't care and doesn't love you, but because he wants you to bear much fruit. He cares more about what he's doing in you than what he's going to do with you. And I don't like that. Just do the things with me, God. Don't do the stuff in me. But he's got to change us before he can ever use us. So hidden things grow. That's the first one. Number two, hidden things are formed. Some of the most beautiful things in life are formed in obscurity. I want you to think about a baby in the womb. Think about that. Dark, alone, isolated. A lot of times there's people in the world that will say it's not even life yet. Ignored. Sometimes unknown, if you don't know you're pregnant, it can go unnoticed. But think about it. When it's that tiny, the miraculous things that are happening in that womb. And I think it's such a beautiful picture. Like the way God, what I love about God is everything he creates, it's with such purpose, and it's way bigger than just like, hey, this is how a baby grows. It grows in a womb. Like, there's this huge meaning behind it. And that meaning is so beautiful that God's working overtime in the secret place, in your secret place, to create something so miraculous that when it arrives, it brings tears to your eyes because you can't believe what God did in that hidden place, in that secret place. And it's the same is true for our lives if we let him work in us. The same is true that you can come to this place where it could be years, it could be 1 year, it could be 10 years, it could be 20 years, it could be 30 years of hiddenness. But when you come through that season, because every season ends, guys, there's the other lie. The enemy tries to tell you this is forever. This is your lot in life. Other people get to do that, but not you. That's a lie of the enemy. Every season ends. That season comes to an end, and God can create something so beautiful from it. Just like when a baby arrives, man, everybody's crying, right? Doesn't matter who you are, how tough you are. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this baby like was formed in that womb. Psalms 139, 13 through 16, right? That's where, David's talking about how you made all my delicate and inner parts, right? He's talking about a baby in the womb. Talk about himself. And my body, you knit me together in my mother's womb. There's something so awesome about that, right? You were making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know. And there's a part of that verse, I can't remember what verse it is, but it talks about how in the secret place you created me. And it might not be in this translation. Yeah, the translation is different here. It says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the dark of the room. So of the womb. There's another translation that says, you've watched me as I was in the secret place. And I just think that's so important. So one thing I just want to leave you before we move to the next point is when you're going through this season, you feel forgotten. You're not forgotten. You're in formation. Write that down if you're taking notes, because there is going to be a time, if you're not in it already, there'll be a moment where you feel forgotten, where you feel overlooked, where you feel like even forgotten, just to be honest, by God. There's a season that I went through where I really felt like, hello, God, remember me. I love you and stuff, and you're going to help me and bless my life. You'll feel forgotten, but you are in formation. So point three, hidden things go deep. And this is a big one. And do you guys have that picture of the tree? So this is so interesting. Okay, before I get to that, I'll just leave it up there. I think sometimes it's so easy to just look to the left and to the right at whatever's going on around us, everybody else's life, rather looking up at God and looking in at ourselves, right? What if we don't need to grow taller and wider, but deeper in him? And there's something about a hidden season that can make you grow deeper in your relationship with God. So I was just, when I was preparing for this message, I was like, I wonder what the deepest roots are. Like, what tree has the deepest roots in the whole world? Like, what's a Guinness Book of World Records for, like, the deepest roots? Anybody know? Come on, Bruce. No. This is so ironic. It's not ironic. It's God. So I look it up. It's the wild fig tree. Now, if you guys don't know the parable of the fig tree, Jesus walks by a fig tree with his disciples, and he's like, you know, basically wanting to curse the fig tree because it's not producing any fruit. And they're like, oh, just give it a little bit more time. Just give it a little more time, a couple more years. It will produce fruit. And it's so interesting to me that the biggest root system of every tree is this fig tree. This is in South Africa, okay? It's a wild fig tree. And the roots, guess how deep they are? This is crazy. So it's like there's a cave underneath it. So what you're looking at over here is a cave. So that's like the tree and the roots. But if you can see, it's kind of hard to see because the picture's dark. You see what looks like a giant fire hose going through this cave. Those are the roots. 400 feet long. Is that crazy? And what it's seeking out is water. It will just keep going and going and going until it finds water because a fig tree needs so much water. I can't remember how many liters, 25 liters or something a day to what? This is the crazy part, to produce fruit. So its roots go so deep to find that living water so it can actually produce fruit. And I'm like, God, you're like amazing. I don't even, how come everything in the world is some like symbolic meaning? Because he's created everything right. And so it's the same thing with us. If we have surface level Christianity, we'll never produce anything. And God knows it. So he's like, hey, we're going to go through this deep hidden season. It's going to be really hard. You're going to question where I am. You're going to question your faith. You're going to struggle. You're going to feel invisible. But your roots are going to go down so deep. And you're going to learn to seek out for the living water that only I can give. And I'm so thankful, honestly, that he allowed me to do that and that he allows us to do it. We don't feel thankful in the moment, but when you have roots that deep, there's nothing that can move you. A tornado can come and rip through your life and crazy chaos can happen and you're wondering how in the world am I still standing? It's because your roots went down so deep, right? And I'm just going to read that one part. If you guys want to stand with me, we're going to pray. But I want to read that Ephesians 3 again, just the first half of the verse, because it talks all about being rooted and grounded. So verse 14 says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. This is the part. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. So I'm going to pray because I really believe that there's a lot of people here, whether it's that spirit of heaviness this morning or just this feeling of hiddenness, that God is speaking directly to your heart. So God, right now, we just come before you. We just thank you that you see a bigger picture than what we see. That when we're living in the middle of what feels like a mess or feels like a dark season or a hidden season, God, that you don't just see us. You don't just hear us. You don't just record the deeds that we do when we faithfully serve you or others, but that you still have a plan. That it's not a detour. It's a part of the plan, God. God, and we just pray right now, God, that our roots would go deep in you. We don't want to be surface Christians, God. We don't want to just get by and make it another week. God, we want to know you intimately, God. So right now, God, we just thank you for what you're doing, the work you're doing in our hearts, God. And we just ask you to continue to do that work, God, that you'd give us patience to endure the times when we feel hidden or invisible or it seems dark and confusing, God, that we would trust in you. So I think the worship team is going to play one more song, but I would just like to invite anybody, two groups of people. The first one is, if you hear me talking today and you think, that lady's crazy, that's okay. But then part of you is like, what is she talking about? Knowing God in that way. I know about him. I even might go to church once in a while, but to know him in such a deep way, to be able to hear his voice, like that sounds crazy to me. I would love, you know, or the team here, I don't know if we have the altar team, if they're here today, would love to pray with you. Because it just starts with making a decision and saying, Jesus, I want that love in my life. I want to follow you. I want to make you the Savior and Lord of my life. That's the start of it. You know, Justin says it best. I'm going to butcher the saying, but he always says it's something about it's a start of a salvation or asking Jesus into your life is like the starting of a conversation, starting of a relationship. So if that's you, we would love to pray for you. But the second group of people, and just during worship is when I'd invite you guys to come down. So as the music starts, if you feel like this is you. So one, you've never really experienced the love of Jesus and you want to make that choice today to say, hey man, I want to give my life to him. Second one is if this message, maybe the spirit of heaviness, just the prophetic word this morning, or the spirit of hiddenness, you're like, that is so where I'm at right now. We would love to pray for you, because one thing me and my husband have been talking a lot about is we believe that God still speaks. Amen. There's a lot of churches that don't believe that, just so you know. I absolutely believe in this book right here. It's the inspired word of God. But there's something called the Rhema word of God. And the Rhema word of God is when God speaks to you in a moment. There's actually, can I pray for you? Right, yeah, you have the green shirt on. You're looking at, yes, you. Can I pray for you right now? Because God gave me a word for you since worship. If you want to just come in the aisle, you don't have to come all the way up. But the Rhema word of God is when God speaks in a moment. I'll pray for you too, but I want to pray for her. During worship, I felt like God told me that heaviness word is for you. You've been so faithful. You've been so faithful. But life has gotten hard. I just see all of these responsibilities on your shoulder, and they're not bad, but they are weighing you down. And I just feel like God wanted me to tell you specifically that this word is for you and that he's lifting the burden off your shoulders today. So God, what's your name? Yeah, Jordan. I feel like God just wants me to tell you today that that verse that says his yoke is easy and his burden is light is not a lie. And maybe you've heard it before and you're like, that doesn't seem true. This is heavy. And I just feel like, Jordan, God wants me to tell you today something's going to shift inside of you, that there's something spiritual about this heaviness. Not that you've done anything wrong, but there is a heaviness that rests on people because the enemy sees what God wants to do through their life and he tries to drag us down. And right now, God, I pray that spirit of heaviness, just the burdens of life, the responsibilities would be lifted today from her shoulders, God, that there would be a different sense in her spirit. Tomorrow she might have to wake up and do the same things she did yesterday, but it feels different, that there is not a heavy weight on her shoulders, God. And I just pray, God, Jordan, do you have a family? Yes, I pray. I just feel like I need to pray for your whole family. So God, I just pray, you know every person in her family right now, God, and I feel like some of the heaviness is because of your family and not just the responsibilities, but a heaviness of your heart. So God, right now, Jesus, I pray you do the work that only you can do, that you would heal those broken places, God, of her heart, God, that only you can do, that only an intimate time with you where you come in and you speak words that nobody else can speak and you bind up wounds that nobody else can bind up. And I feel like you, Jordan, have always been wanting to fix it. You're a fixer. You want to fix everything. And Jesus said, can you just take your hands off of it for a minute and let me fix it? I've got more for you. I've got more for your family. And you've tried to fight for it, but he wants you to stop fighting. He wants you to start resting. And in that rest, it doesn't mean everything falls apart and it doesn't mean something bad is going to happen, that he wants to move in. He wants to step in. And sometimes you don't mean it, but you kind of like, let me help you. And he's like, oh, can you move out of the way? I'm going to do something. So God, right now, I just lift up Jordan. I lift up her family, God, that you would do a miraculous miracle in their life. We speak right now, God, for a faith to arise, that the only thing he's going to ask you to do, Jordan, is to pray more. And that's not a burden either. He's going to learn to make it a joy. It's not going to feel heavy anymore. It's going to feel exciting because you're going to say, I can't wait to see what you're going to do. I'm getting excited about it. I'm getting like antsy about it. God, what are you going to do? It's going to become a joy. Jesus, I just thank you for her life, God. And we honor today on Mother's Day, we honor her faithfulness, God. Amen. So if that's you, two people, if you just want to make that choice, you want to, I want to know God. The second is if you feel like you're in a season, maybe a dark season, maybe a hidden season, maybe it's a spirit of heaviness on you, and you want a word from God. Sometimes I think we're just too, I don't know if shy is the right word. We're just too timid. We're like, oh no, God, I mean, it's fine. I don't need anything. I'll just keep serving you. No, sometimes you need a word from God in your life. And guess what? He wants to give you one. He wants to speak right to your heart, but we don't actually ask for it. And so if that's you and you say, oh my gosh, I just feel like this is speaking to me today. I feel hidden or I feel that heaviness. I encourage you. I don't know how else to say it. During this worship song that you would come up here, the prophetic team and the people at the altar, they hear from God. And God has a way of using people to speak right to a deep place of your heart, to hear something that you need to hear in this season. So God, we just thank you for today, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, you have your way in this place, that whoever responds, God, that you would speak directly to their heart and you would just speak your words of life, your words of living water in Jesus' name. So feel free to come up anytime during this song to receive prayer.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.